And if you've heard that music and you're a regular listener, you will know what that means. It's another week and it's another episode. Welcome back to the Film Reel Cast. I'm Stuart, your host, and I'm joined this week by the lovely Kelly. How are you doing?
Oh, that's a much nicer intro than last week. I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm really good, thanks, mate. Really good. Lovely to have you back. I mean, I'm going to try and keep the atmosphere positive because the film we're doing, we're going to both need to be really, really upbeat. Otherwise, we'll end up hanging ourselves because it's just absolutely miserable. We've done the whole nine yards, and we thought, in the twisted manner and the twisted minds that we've got, why don't we do the whole 10 yards? And boy, what a bad but interesting decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we should have listened to what everybody, including the actors in the film themselves, said, and we should have saved ourselves an hour and a half. But never mind, we're here now, we've done it. I've now watched this film twice.
Well
I
done,
don't want to watch
you.
it again.
That's better than me. I sat down this evening and thought, I'm going to put it on and watch it. And I thought, you know what? I've watched it once. Do I really need to watch it again? I'll watch it when we do the review. So that will be a third time. I don't think I could do two viewings in one day. That's how good I thought this film was.
Yeah, it is pretty shocking. And it, yeah, we'll get into it, but it's just everything about it is awful.
It's amazing. And when you think the budget for this film was $40 million and it grossed in the US and Canada 16 million and worldwide 26 million. Man, that has got to be the biggest failure we've reviewed in a long, long time.
I think we could probably just stop the podcast now because that kind of tells you the kind of review it's going to be. That says, yeah, a lot, really.
It's really, really bad. So bearing in mind that this has got the virtually, well, exactly the same cast, to be honest, the main cast. It's got a different director, but the writer is still the same, which is Mitchell Knapner. It's amazing how different a feel this film is to the acting, the writing. The whole feel about this film is different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It starts off very differently, and I felt in for the whole nine yards, I could see there was a point to the story, and there was a plot to it. I don't get that at any point through this one. I've failed to understand the point in any of it, but that could just
Yeah.
be me.
No, it's quite incredible because I wrote originally before seeing this film, I saw the synopsis and I thought, right, I'll just go through what that is. And I watched a film and I thought, I'll write a larger synopsis. And then when I got to the end of the film, I thought, do you know what? This film doesn't deserve a big synopsis because there's not a lot happens. Basically, Jimmy the
Huh.
Tulip, Bruce Willis, his quiet life is shaken up when his old pal Oz, his wife has been kidnapped. And his wife being Cynthia, played by still Natasha Henstridge, by a Hungarian mob. Tulip and his wife must go and rescue them, which includes Amanda Peet. So it's got Amanda Peet, who was the original receptionist. As I said, Cynthia, Natasha Henstridge, Matthew Perry. He may as well be Chandler in this film. He still plays a character called Oz. And strangely enough, they've got Kevin Pollak, who before played Laszlo. And no, he played Yarny, didn't he? He played Yarny Gogolak
Yeah,
in.
he's Laszlo in this one.
Yeah, he plays his dad. So they didn't get a different character. They just got the same person back and put makeup on to make him out more. Basically, it's a rip-off of The Godfather, isn't it? Marlon Brando. That's what he's meant to be.
I'm probably going to lose a lot of brownie points here, but I've not seen The Godfather, but I can picture that. Yes, that is probably what he was going for, but it is quite clearly the cheap pound shop version because it's just awful.
Yeah, I'd say it's the pound shop version, but the bargain bucket of the pound shop version because it's that bad. But it's strange how bad it is because the first one was bearable. It's quite a sweet story, easy watching, nothing memorable, and I wouldn't watch it ever again. But it was passable, wasn't it?
Do you know what? And I know you'll say it's because I'm biased to Matthew Perry, but it's not. I liked the first one. I found it like it was easy watching, and I didn't find it offensive in any way. And I would quite happily watch it again. It's not something I would choose, but I wouldn't turn it off if it was on. Whereas this, I'm not wasting any more time of my life
But you're a
on
huge
it.
Matthew Perry fan, aren't you? I think you must have some
I am.
bias. That decision is guided by a bit of bias, I think.
No, it's not, because just because it's a shit film doesn't mean they're all shit actors. because Bruce Willis goes on and does lots of other stuff that he's good in, but his performance in this was just, I mean, I'm going to go with shocking because there's many words I could use, but that's probably the most appropriate.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's get on to that then. You mentioned the acting, and we spoke about this briefly before, but I wanted to just hold it for the podcast so we can actually properly talk about it. That I thought in this film, it's a terrible film. Everyone's bad. Bruce Willis, I love Bruce Willis. I love Die Hard. All of the films, I can just watch them again and again and again. But, and Matthew Perry, I like Friends. If it's on, I'll watch it. If there's nothing else on, I'll watch it. But there needs to be nothing else on. And you love Matthew Perry. I didn't really like his character. I thought Chandler was really annoying, completely one-dimensional character. And in this, he is Chandler. He can't do anything else. And in real life, he's kind of like that. He brings his own like isms into it. And it just makes him out to be a terrible kind of one-dimensional actor. All he can do is Chandler. He can't do anything else. And this done nothing for his career. And it killed it off. And even Bruce Willis, he's brilliant in Die Hard, but that's what he can do. Anything else, he's crap in. And I've said this before, and I said this on the last one. Is Willis really a good actor? You know, he doesn't really bring anything to this role. There's no charisma. And you said, well, they were contracted to do it, didn't you?
They've all said that they regretted doing it and it didn't help their career. And in hindsight, they wouldn't have ever gone back to do it after the whole nine yards. I think it was running off the success of the first one. Everyone was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go for it. It's a good thing. But they should have just stopped because I don't think it makes them bad actors. I just think. And it's not me being biased because I don't really like Bruce Willis. I don't really know any of the others apart from Matthew Perry. And I disagree. He's not a one-dimensional character as Chandler Bing. In this, he doesn't put on his best performance, even when he does try and bring in, like you say, his own isms into it and like being Chandler, basically. It's not a great performance in the entire film. But none of them give any depth to their character. You don't get invested in any of their characters. You don't ever choose a side of who's good and who's bad or who you want to come out on top because it's so all over the place.
Yeah,
So I
I
think,
agree with that, kind of.
yeah, kind of. Go on then.
No, I don't agree with Matthew Perry. I just don't agree with acting. I
Just don't like him because I like him.
no,
Yours would
it
be
isn't
different.
that. No, he wasn't too bad in the other film, but I just think, especially someone like Bruce Willis, yeah, like he wasn't really an A-lister then, but he's got a lot of oomph. He's behind him, and if you're acting in a film. And it's a film this bad, and they acknowledge that this film is as bad as it is. Surely you take some pride in your work and you persuade the director. Like many of films, they're rewritten on the bounce. They don't know what the next scene's going to be. They just rewrite it because the film is that bad. And they just strip it all back and do it again. And so, why didn't they do that for this film? If they've got any clout and they take pride in their work, not just after a paycheck. Then you'd go against, like, you go with your gut feeling rather, and go against what you're being told to do because it's shit. Surely you must have pride in your work. And if an actor just does it for the money, include any actor, like Tom Cruise, any actor, if they just do it for the paycheck and it's an art and they class themselves as artists and performers, and you're just doing a job for a paycheck, like on the screen where other people are going to invest their money to watch. I think you really got to be ashamed of yourself and look at whether you're in the right, like, profession, you know?
Yeah, I think to a degree, yeah, I'll agree with that. I think if in this one they were just doing it for a paycheck, I think that's a little bit rubbish because none of them really needed that paycheck at this point. They'd all kind of hit fame and done very well from that. So that it's not like this was their last ditch attempt at trying to make it big. So if that's what they were doing, I think that's quite sad because it does kind of ruin, well, it is just, it ruins their street cred in every way. And it's not the sort of, you couldn't use any of the film on your resume to say, this is what I did before it come and employ me for another job, because it's just shocking. So why they didn't all like, I think you said vote with their legs and just say no. I don't know, but maybe they thought it couldn't be that bad. I don't know. But
Yeah.
it is just awful.
I'd love to see a really honest interview with, obviously, it's only going to be everyone apart from Matthew Perry, sadly, but just to look at this film, sit down and watch this film and say, can you honestly be proud of anything you did during the whole 10 yards? Back in 2004, what was happening in your life that you went through this experience and you were proud to promote this film, do the interviews? And I watched the interviews for this film. And it's just amazing bullshit that they're giving out with regards to the character relations and what they do and how invested they are. You should be ashamed of yourselves.
I suppose the time when they're going to be doing those interviews, they are going to be on like a sell basis, aren't they? Of get the film out and kind of you can't speak badly of it, I presume, as part of their contract
No, you couldn't
potentially. You
go to it
can't.
and go, to be honest, this film's shit, but.
Yeah.
But kind of have the bollocks to, at the time of before you get to that stage, I'd rather have an actor read about him or a whole cast walked off because they thought it was absolutely shit and it was a disgrace and the public deserved better. Surely you'd appreciate that actor, even if it was a film you were looking forward to and you were like really gutted that it wasn't released next year and in the middle of filming, if they were doing Deadpool again, which they are, with Hugh Jackman in and Ryan Reynolds, can't wait for that film to come out. But if I read that both of them walked off set because the script wasn't good enough and the acting, the direction, and what the kind of the path for this film was poorly written, then I would be so happy that good, like I can expect something even better when I go and see it, rather than them churn out a film that's shit, sit there and lie to me to say how good it is, and then just watch the film and go, yeah, that was actual shit. And I would lose so much respect, which I have done for all of these people, because they wouldn't be a drawer anymore. And any film they were in, you'd just think, well, it could be another load of shit. Like, I don't really want to go and see this film. I can't, the press junkets they're doing, I don't believe a word they're saying.
I kind of agree with that because nobody, like, there might be in other films that are absolutely rubbish, but some people enjoy it. It's horses for courses, I suppose. Someone's going to like it somewhere. I don't think they ever thought it would be quite such a flop as it is and only make, what was it, 16? Was it 16 million?
You made 60 million in the US and Canada and 26 worldwide.
Yeah, so I can't imagine that they thought it would be that much of a failure.
That's naivety
Because that,
on their part then, I think.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not defending them. It is shit. The film is shockingly shit.
Yeah.
And I am going to struggle to find anything positive to say about it. But I don't know. I would like to think nobody in it would have gone into it thinking, yeah, let's do this. It's going to be shite. They would have had a little bit of hope. And
Okay
maybe that's
then.
what they were clinging on to. I don't know.
We'll see. Let's get into it. Let's get into the whole 10 yards.
Can't wait.
I
I'm lucky.
know. So the film kind of starts, and when you watch it several times and you actually start to pay attention to what's actually being said in the dialogue, we're introduced to Kevin Pollak, who plays Laszlo, who's the dad. It goes back in time, and we're introduced to two children fighting each other. They kind of give a twist at the end of this film, and we're going to plot spoilers, no doubt foul language, and definitely immature behavior. So if you don't like any of that, if you've not seen this film, go and watch it.
Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. The film is so shit that the twist at the end, it has no effect because you've already lost all patience and your sanity is out the door already. So it
Yeah.
has no effect on you whatsoever.
That's true, but then they tell you who the character are at the start. Because when the two kids are fighting and you've got Laszlo there, he shouts out Yimmy and Yanni because he's got a speech impediment, just like Yanni did.
Yanni, Yimmy, get in here now!
So he tells you their names at the start of it. So you know who both the characters are. When he reveals the big aha moment at the end, there isn't a moment because he's told you at the start of the film who these people are. I just don't get it. And he rips a dollar bill up and he gives it to them and gives like a life lesson to both these kids.
You understand that one day you will inherit my empire, yes?
But an empire.
Shut up. This will remind you that you are two halves of one. Together, you are more powerful than a pun. Yes?
You know who these people are. It's just a very, very strange thing. And again, as I said, it's got the same casting. And before, Amanda Peet, who played Jill, who hooked up with Jimmy in the end, failed assassin, goes on a hit. And she's useless, isn't she? But bearing in mind at the start in the first film, she took out a lot of goons and shot them with confidence, that she just can't kill anyone. And she's still trying to get her first hit as a proper assassin, isn't she? Which is just slapstick.
Yeah, I don't understand why her character appears to have regressed and gone backwards. I don't understand that. You would have thought they'd been together. I know he's in hiding, but he's not really. He just creates another persona, doesn't he? And then lives life happily ever after as someone else. So I don't understand what they were trying to get at with her character arc of being a shit assassin.
No, it's weird. And the biggest surprise for me and the biggest red flag, apart from when we saw Laszlo and I realised it was Kevin Pollak and thought, oh my God, they've just done everything again, was when Jill goes home to Bruce Willis, who is hoovering, who's got long hair, wearing a pinny and a bandana. And he moans at her about going on the rug because he's obviously spring cleaning the house. And it's like, oh my God, who thought this was ever a good idea or a good direction or it was even funny?
Hi, honey.
Just vacuum this rug, okay? I got it all even. Take your shoes off, please. You know the rule.
I can't. I don't know. It's the outfit, the wig. His whole character arc, the whole thing is just appalling. He's trying to be still a big, hard, scary man, but talking about getting dirt on the rug because he's been hoovering, it's like, it doesn't work. The two don't mix. You don't have someone who's real mean and nasty, who stands there with a wig and a pinny on, who makes baby mobiles from people he's killed.
No,
it's not a
and
thing.
If we can realise that from watching this, that you kind of, you roll your eyes, you shake your head and want to walk out the room, but the willpower to watch this film, to do the podcast, keeps you there. And you think, this isn't funny. This just is ridiculous. So why doesn't Bruce Willis, when he's doing this himself, and he's got the script and he kind of just chucks it on the floor and goes, I'm not doing this. This is utterly ridiculous. This character wouldn't do this. And just don't do it. The fact he does it makes me hate Bruce Willis. It's just, oh, it's just so bad. I really was angry.
Yeah, it is frustrating because on first watch, I didn't really understand what was going on. Because it is so left field, it's like, where, how have we got here? What's happened? Because it is just so not what you expect to see when you go back to this couple of trying to be serial killers and assassins. That's not what you expect to see. That's not in any world normal.
No, at the end of the last one, when it was kind of organised, you had Frankie Figgs there. I mean, Jimmy was so slick with his planning. And you had Jill there. She was so slick as well, the way she was playing off against Cynthia. Everything was working really well. And it was a good story. It was a tighter story. But this has just gone in a direction where you get a replay of where she goes to Las Vegas, pull the target, and she goes to kill him and knocks spaghetti on the floor. And he slips on it, falls out the window, and he's taken two, or she's kind of killed two people to a certain extent. One of them fell down the lift shaft. This one fell out of a window. So she hasn't physically done the deed of shooting them. And it's like a stigma that she's got now that she can't get over. But there is no payoff. in the film with regards to this storyline, is there?
It's padding, I guess, for the film to add minutes to the showtime. I don't know. It just I'm lost for words because it's just so rubbish. There's only so many times you can say it's crap.
Yeah, it's weird. We'll try and find something positive about something in this.
I mean,
honestly,
there was one bit, I can't remember what it was, but there was one bit that I laughed at.
It must be.
I can't remember what it was. When we get there. When we get to it, I might remember.
And we're introduced to Strabo Goglak, who's the son of Laszlo, but he's not mentioned in the first film at all, is he? It's all purely Yanni who's mentioned. So he's like a new character, and he's got two goons called Yermo and Zevo, who don't really play a major part. I mean, Yermo... Silas Weir Mitchell has been in like Prison Break. He always plays a bad character. If there's going to be someone who's creepy to women, a possible kind of like a previous rapist who's in prison, it will always be this character. It's strange. He's obviously been poorly, well, typecast, but he's always plays a very, very strange person. So he's kind of well suited in this. And Laszlo comes out of prison. He's, I don't know whether it's his parole. But he's been released from federal prison. And learning of this, unbeknown to the viewers until we get to the end, it kind of starts the cogs rolling for the story, doesn't it? But it kind of all unravels at the end as to it was all set up, ready for the day that Laszlo gets released from prison, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a big... Again, I guess that's supposed to be like a plot twist where it wasn't as it seemed. It wasn't as Oz was telling the story, basically. And there was a whole big thing behind it. So I guess that's another one of those big, oh my God, moments that was lost because it's shocking.
Yeah. And another thing, a red flag as well. Bearing in mind, we're only 10 minutes into this. We're introduced to Cynthia and Oz. And she's sitting by the pool. Again, she looks very, very lovely. They're married. Everything's settled down. They live in a high security place. I don't really know why they live in a high security place with barbed wire. It's never quite explained. But he's looking at her on CCTV and the front door goes. And the room they're in is surrounded with like loads of machine guns, shotguns, everything. And he picks up a handgun. And the way he struts through the house... Kind of, you know, like when you see policemen pass the door and roll in and stuff like that. He does that, doesn't he?
I think it's his paranoia, isn't it?
But it's shit acting. It's terrible acting. He should be... he's not here. I mean, he had drink and alcohol problems. That's the only excuse that if he could speak now that he could ever have for being such a shit actor. So I know you're biased against Matthew Perry because you fucking love him, but this is terrible.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, you say he was drinking and that could be the reason. Maybe they were all pissed because Willis liked to party and liked a good drink. So maybe they were just pissed through it all and didn't realise it was shit until they sobered up.
If this film is like this all the way through, it's going to be a massive slog. And bearing in mind, it's only an hour and, 35 minutes?
Something like that.
And for some reason... The goons, the paranoia for Matthew Perry is pretty much spot on. He's got a new secretary called Julia, played by Tasha Smith, who we work out. Is that right? It's the sister of Frankie Figgs from the first film?
Yeah, she comes forward, doesn't she, at the end and reveals herself as another person who's going to kill everyone because of Frankie Figgs, yeah.
Yeah, and we learned that Strabo, the son of Laszlo, goes to the dentist to take out, I don't know if he's going to kill him, or whether he's going to kidnap him, being Oz, Matthew Perry. And he gives him too much nitrous oxide and kind of kills him, but brings him back again, doesn't he? Or he calls 911 to bring him back again. And the reason why he's all flustered is because Cynthia tells him that they're going to be mother and father.
Yes, he gets good news because I'm guessing they've been trying for a while.
Yeah, and I'm sure he enjoyed every second. And he goes full on Chandler Bing, doesn't he? Running around the dentist, leaving, coming back with little one-liner, little quips.
There's no depth to it. There's no real... you don't get invested in it, which is really disappointing because, yes, I do like Matthew Perry, but I struggle to find anything positive in his performance and the film. So even with him in it, it doesn't make it good. I'm not completely sold just because he's in it, not like you with Tom Cruise. I can't. I
Whoa,
don't have
you
that kind of a
cannot
man crush.
even compare the two.
Just did, just did, just
You
did.
can't. Oh my God. I mean, Matthew Perry, should he be alive, rest his soul, was not fit to wipe Tom Cruise's ass or do his shoelaces up on acting
I
ability. There is no
disagree.
way.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You just have a total Tom crush on Mr. Cruise, and you can't get away from how much you want to get in his pants, basically.
If we went through the films that Matthew Perry done and Tom Cruise did, it would just be embarrassing. I would not want to do that to you. I wouldn't want to put you in that position, honestly.
Oh, but he's done. Tom Cruise has done way more, and he's probably performed better.
I'd
But
probably fuck off. Wow. Look how many
you
different
feel
roles Tom Cruise has done. Oh, Matthew Perry can do. Wait a minute, what's this? What's this? What? Chandler Bing. Wow. I can do Chandler Bing in this film if you want, or I can do a Chandler Bing in this film. That's what he's got.
annoying thing is, I would love to back that up and respond. I've not seen enough fucking films with Tom Cruise or Matthew Perry in it, so I have no argument to give.
That's amazing. I love that.
So
That makes me
you
so
beat me
happy.
hands down just because you've watched more films, which is really irritating.
But regardless, I'm pretty confident. I mean, Tom Cruise has had his bombs. Don't I mean, trust me, some of the films he's done have been terrible. And every actor goes through a phase like that. But just like comparing the filmography between both of them, you just can't compare. You really, really can't. He was Matthew Perry as Chandler, but what he had to be was brilliant, and no one else could do that. It's like Robert Downey Jr. of Iron Man. You can't replace that person with anyone else.
But
But
you've got a crush on him as well.
yes, I know I have. But again,
So
I'm
you're
honest.
biased.
No, I'm not, because I'm realistic. Because soon as Robert Downey Jr. left the MCU, all the films he's done have been absolutely shit. The films he starred in, he was in Oppenheimer, which probably will win awards, but he played just a supporting actor role in that. But the films like Dr. Doolittle and everything since he left, stopped being Tony Stark, have been terrible. But we digress. You made me
Okay, yeah,
digress.
go on.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Oz goes back to his house and he finds Laszlo there. And basically, he discovers that Cynthia has been kidnapped. And it's a weird kind of kidnapping, isn't it? Because she's taken back to Laszlo's house where she's just kind of free to roam around and do what she wants whilst his goons are sat there drinking. I was really confused whether she was part of this, or in on it, or whether she was actually a hostage. Was you?
No, I was never. I knew she was kind of a hostage, but I think right from the start, it was a planned thing. So she knew, because she was way too calm. She knew what she was doing. She knew what she was there for. And she was obviously looking for something when she goes behind that picture and whatever. It was quite obvious that this wasn't, like you say, a standard kidnapping, because she wanted to be kidnapped to get something out of it.
Because the picture she goes to is Laszlo holding a dollar, and underneath it, he's got the half-ripped dollar, which we learn later on in the film. The importance of this half-ripped dollar is that it contains bank account codes to, was it $280 million that's been saved up, which is what they're basically gunning for. And as you rightly said, that this is all part of their plan when he gets released. Being Laszlo, that chances are she will be kidnapped, held to ransom, and their plan is X, Y, and Z to get the money and relying on the stupidity of him and his goons that they'll be able to do that. And it's strange because she obviously knows what she's doing, but she's far too relaxed to be a realistic hostage for me. And they're far too stupid. The whole thing is too slapstick, isn't it?
I think that's what kills the storyline, because they're trying to be so overtly funny and ridiculous. It doesn't work.
Let's talk about quite a sad moment in the film that we both noticed. You know where
I
we're going, don't you?
do, because it's literally, I'm watching it now as we're talking about it, and like you're going to say when he drives up Bruce Willis's car.
Exactly. In the kind of the haste, the panic, Oz goes to, I believe it's Mexico, where Jimmy and Jill are living. And it's got, they came into, was it 10 million or was it a million they got at the last, at end of the last film?
They got 9, didn't they? Because it was 10 million, but they gave a million to Oz and right. Cynthia.
So and through that, Oz started his own dentist practice and he's got a nice Porsche. And when he goes down and pulls onto the drive of Jimmy's house, there are chickens running everywhere. And you actually see this chicken get run over. And even when Matthew Perry gets out of the car, he looks back as if to say, shit, did I hit a chicken then? And you can tell by the look on his face, can't you?
Yeah, and you can see that it was not planned. It wasn't. That was a horrible accident, which is really quite sad. I'm not laughing later on, at it, but it's sad.
Bruce Willis holds that dead chicken up.
Blanche! Who's Blanche?
Consuelo! Xerxes! Alert the others! It's been a tragedy!
Who's Blanche?
This is Blanche. You killed her.
I'm sorry.
Go home, Oz. Go home before something bad happens.
Something bad already has happened. Cynthia's been kidnapped.
It's terrible. It's awful. It's so bad. You wouldn't get away with that now because it'd be animal cruelty. You would not be allowed, you wouldn't, if it happened, there's no way they would let it show on camera. No way.
No, this was done in Mexico, wasn't it? Where I should imagine that the rules are pretty, like, loose about, especially back in 2004, of animals being killed. But yeah, it was just quite, I was really surprised. It's probably like the highlight of the film, the most realistic thing in the film, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was probably the best acting, the reaction to, holy fuck, I've just run over a chicken.
Yeah, it was the only genuine part of any person, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
And it's not so long until all of the goons, including Laszlo, turn up and take out the house where all of them are having their meeting, trying to work out a plan to rescue Cynthia. And I don't really understand the dynamics, because watching this film, and I know immediately this is a plan already kind of in progress, where Jill and where Jimmy are aware of what's going on. Obviously, Oz is the only one, which adds to the ha-ha-ha-ha slapstick in this, that he hasn't got a clue what's going on. But I couldn't understand the bickering between Jimmy and between Jill already. I couldn't see why that were kind of playing a part into it. And as like a viewer, I know at the end of it, it all kind of ties up nicely. But it was just another thing for me that didn't make sense.
I think I kind of got it, because she was alluding to shit sex life, isn't it? And him not being the man that she married and all of that kind of crap. But I don't see why it was needed.
No, I know that they allude to him not... talk about erection problems as well, and... That's what Bruce Willis speaks about. And that he can't kind of father a child with Jill, and that he's not a proper man, that he kind of lets her down. And between that issue and the fact that she hasn't killed anyone using a gun, they seem to argue. Again, there's mention of Cynthia, where you kind of think possibly Jimmy's having contact with his ex-wife and there is something going on between them. And he certainly sows that seed in Ozzy's mind, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And I think they try and get the viewer to see that, because they have the phone conversation right at the very beginning. So I think that is what they're trying to suggest, is they're having it away with each other, even though they're supposedly ex-husband and wife. But I don't know why. I don't know what plot that drives. I just don't get it.
No, it was really strange. I tried to see the payoff when it came to this. The bit I did like in this film, and I have to say, is the only bit, and I don't know whether it's the same bit for you, is when you've got Jill, Jimmy and Oz in this kind of diner when they stop, and this guy's being really rude behind them to the waitress. And it's one of those moments where you think, I wish I could do that to this guy who's just belittling this poor waitress, and Jimmy just smashes his face into a plate. It's brilliant, isn't it?
Hey, pal. Let's give the girl a break, huh? She already said she was sorry. She's just working for a living.
Why don't you mind your own business? Asshole.
Oh, no.
Who was I?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to remind you.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And, like, the way he schools the kids, like, you're not going to do that when you get older, are you? It is, yeah, it is brilliant, because there are people like that, and you do just want to smash their face into the curb normally, but Play it will do.
And that's when Willis is good. When Willis is being mean, it's not acting. He just does it well. That's him. And he's kind of one-dimensional. I get that, and I will acknowledge that. But that's the only time in the film when he's smashing some geezer's head into a plate that it's good fun. And when he goes back to Cynthia, who's kind of being babysat as a hostage by Strabo, I don't kind of get their relationship. He's kind of trying it on with her. She's leading him on. I couldn't see where this was going. It was like padded out scene for the sake of, we need to make this film an hour and 34 minutes or an hour and 40 minutes. Let's just add some scenes which don't have any payoff, don't make a lot of sense, but just chuck them in anyway. And this was another example.
I kind of looked into that as it was her way of manipulating him, because he is as thick as two short planks. And he's obviously not an oil painting, and she is pretty stunning. So he is going to fall for anything that she says if he thinks he's going to get lucky. So I took this as her way of manipulating him so that she could get free rein in the house and do what she went there to, or got kidnapped to do.
Yeah, I just couldn't see what she was kind of manipulating him for, because she had free run of the house.
Maybe you've met your match and, you know, you don't understand, because it's just well, that
don't understand
bit above your,
what, this film.
Yeah, you said you don't understand the manipulation and all of that. Well, maybe that's because you can't see it.
Oh, just because it's not conveyed very well by Matthew Perry, because he's such a massive shit.
He's actor, not in this scene. You can't do that. He's not in this scene. It's nothing to do with him.
Well, when they go into a hotel, again, you get a divide. You get Jimmy arguing with Jill about everything. Their relationship kind of just breaks down at this part, and she just fucks off. And the only thing I kind of quite like is Strabo, who's now been taken hostage, and his relationship with Oz. He's so thick, and Oz is so thick, that he hasn't got a clue what's going on. They just kind of bond, don't they?
Yeah, they're both in the dark, in different ways, but completely in the dark. So they kind of make a good partnership, I suppose. But that doesn't really speak highly for Matthew Perry, does it, really, in his acting?
Well, not really. But it's strange that Strabo just doesn't mind about being kidnapped. He's all kind of quite with it. And he just kind of goes along for the ride and actually bonds with some of the characters. And again, I don't understand the scene where Jill just runs off and she locks herself in the bathroom. And Jimmy's the other side trying to talk her out of the bathroom. And she's got a gun. She's never going to shoot him. And Matthew Perry tries to help.
Jill! Jill, will you come on? Be sensible!
Jill, honey,
I'm sorry I pointed a gun at your face and said I was going to blow your brains out.
You see what you got me into now with your squealing? Now you get over here and you help me out of this jam right now. You better make it good.
Stutzer? Hein? I'm going to be here for somebody else now.
Jill?
Scooster?
I think you're being a little bit unreasonable. I mean, when he pulled a gun on you, that was pretty funny.
Oz, nobody's talking to you.
Hey, you take it easy on Oz, okay? He's a doctor. People go to see him when they have problems,
He's
Jill.
He's a dentist. People go see him when they have plaque.
He's a wonderful dentist.
Pipe it, Tuffy.
This scene is for no reason at all. They've had their argument. They've done what they mean to do in the plan. This is just padded out, pointless, terrible acting, isn't it?
Yeah, this is just, yeah, I couldn't see the point to this at all. No, I didn't, unless it was to show he's got a human side or something, because then it goes on to the bar, I think. Matthew Perry and Bruce Willis are having a drink, and Willis just goes off into a complete meltdown in front of everybody and literally has a breakdown in front of the bar and smashes all the glasses. That I don't see what he gains from that.
Jimmy, there's a lot of people.
Can you help me? Can you tell me? I mean, what the hell is going on here? Why are we all in this big spinning ball that we call her? Martha! Why? Why? You ever hear this thing called avoidance behavior, Oz? I mean, I don't want to talk about that.
Yes, right? Yes, let's talk about avoidance behavior. You mean like sitting here in a bar drinking shots instead of saving Cynthia?
Cynthia's going to be just fine, Oz.
I just don't understand it. What? The whole scene just is confusing.
No, again, and I know they've got their plan running in the background as to how they're going to get their money, but this has no relevance to it. And it's not needed. And whilst they're doing that, getting completely wasted, Strabo and Jill are in the room, and he's giving her relationship advice as to make Bruce Willis jealous because she feels that he doesn't want her anymore and it's broken down, and possibly making him jealous will somehow make him fertile and give him an erection and she'll be able to get pregnant. That's basically the advice that she's being given, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't really see how that's going to work, to be honest. But, I mean, he's not the cleverest, so maybe that is the top level of his knowledge. I don't know. But again, it's just a scene that's not needed. It doesn't gain anything for the story. It doesn't explain anything. It doesn't add anything to it. It's not an amazing bit of acting by either of them.
I was thinking, if you're to have sex with another man, it would make Jimmy jealous.
Oh, yeah? Like with who?
Well, let's say, with me, for example.
It's just him using the manipulation that Cynthia used on him to try and get out of it from Jill, I suppose. That's the only way you can say they link, because it's flirting manipulation.
But if you're talking about scenes that aren't needed, the next morning, after Oz and Jimmy have had their big old drinking session, they wake up in bed together in the hotel room. For some reason, Oz complains that he's got a sore bum, and he's kind of believes he fell down the stairs. And then he looks out of the hotel door and realizes they're on the ground floor and there aren't any stairs, and that possibly the reason why his ring piece hurts is because Bruce Willis has had sex with him. Is that what you got from that scene?
You are really noisy in the morning. Jimmy, what the hell happened last night? Why does my ass hurt? You fell down the stairs.
Oh, good. So nothing happened.
Of course not. Not really.
What does that mean?
We were just a couple of guys helping each other out.
Yeah, that is what I got from that scene. And I, yeah. Again, this isn't something I saw coming. Neither did Matthew Perry, I presume. But I'm guessing this was in some twisted way.
I can't wait to hear you justify this. I cannot wait.
I'm not. There's no justifying it. But after this, him and Jill kind of get back to fucking. So maybe this was like his wake up call or something.
Oh my God, I can't believe you tried to link it. No way. I mean, the reason why that happens is because Oz kind of, Oz, it's because Jill is standing there in a bra. I mean, if you're going to do this, get your boobs out. You did it in the first one. Do you think you're so important you don't need to get your boobs out now? So, but she tries it on with Oz. Jimmy comes in, loses his shit, and gets really jealous, just like Strabo said he would. And then they start making out. But what relevance has that got to do with, all of a sudden, the night before, when he's fully loaded, but Jimmy goes and sleeps with Oz and has sex with him? You cannot link that. There's no way at all. Stephen Hawking could not link these two together.
Oh, I don't know. I think that's the only thing that I can suggest is why they put that scene in there. Because if all it took was for her to get her boobs out, you'd have done it a long time ago if you wanted it. You know, that's very easy to do. Very little effort involved in that. You just stand there butt naked in front of your man and, you know, he'll have his way with you. That's not difficult. So I don't know why all of a sudden that would now work when it didn't before.
It doesn't, like a lot of things in this film, it doesn't make sense as to how they get there. And again, the next day, Strabo escapes, okay? And rather than just running off, for some reason, he escapes and hides in the boot of their hire car. I do not understand that, because you've got Laszlo on the phone constantly to Jimmy asking to speak to his son so they can swap hostages, because he's got Cynthia and he's got Strabo. And they go on and on and on about not being able to get the son out of the car. You got the boot lock. Oz can't find it because he's too busy being a shit chandler, being running around doing slapstick nonsense. And then a sniper, an unknown sniper assassin, turns up and starts shooting everywhere, and then shoots the back of the car and kills Strabo. I mean, I just thought, what the fuck is this all about? What is the point of this part?
Yeah, I can't answer that either, because I don't... You knew as soon as the shots were fired, went into the car, it wasn't a surprise when they opened the boot and he was dead. That, I can't, you could see that coming a mile off. That was very predictable, and even something else, it was just poorly written. And I don't think that was part of their plan initially. But I don't know. I can't... Like I said, I'm struggling for words to explain or to sort of justify what they do in this, because it's just awful, and it's just confusing. You could take all the scenes separately and put them into different films, because they don't link. No, they don't.
But again, we know the wheels are in motion. They have been ever since Laszlo was released from prison. But when you've got Jimmy on the phone arguing to Jill about being a dad, if he was a dad, I take the kid away from you. And again, she's really mean to him. But no one else is listening to this. But at the end of the film, they say this is all part of their plan. But no one else can hear this conversation. So again, who is this benefiting?
Well, I can't give you an explanation for that. Because
I'm
most
not
of
asking
it...
for one, thankfully, because that would be just cruel, like to make you watch this film again. But was you surprised when Oz goes back to his dental surgery, and he speaks to Julie, and he has, funnily enough, he chooses to do this kind of in a Chandler Bing style for a change. That, and I will play a clip, and you people who didn't know this would guess it could be from Friends.
What's wrong?
What's wrong? What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. Everything's wrong. Take a look around you. Nothing's right. Cynthia got kidnapped by a bunch of Hungarian killers. And instead of calling the FBI or the police, like every other rational man would do, I thought to myself, hey, let's try to get in contact with somebody else that kills a lot of people. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to calm down. I'm going to go downstairs. And I'm going to take a nice, leisurely drive in my Porsche. Oh, no, wait a minute. I can't take a drive in my Porsche because I don't have a Porsche anymore. That's gone. That's history. That's archives. We left that. We left the Porsche so we can get on a bus and rent some other car. And you know why? Because I don't. Do you know why? Some kind of GPS, I don't know, system.
Because that's just the way he does it. So she puts chloroform over him and then just knocks him out, I think, doesn't she?
No, she puts it over Bruce Willis first.
That's it. Willis turns up and she knocks him out. Were you surprised that she was like an assassin as well?
Yes, I didn't expect it. But again, that's predictable, isn't it? Because the last one was Jill and she was an assassin. So they're just basically recreating a really shit second version of the first film. Why does she need to be in it? She doesn't drive any of the plot. It's just another extra that just pads it out. Because I don't see what... She doesn't gain anything in it after this appearance. Basically nothing.
No, all she ends up doing is getting killed, basically, because she is... Well, she's got no further part to play. But Jill does turn up. And I naively think the film may start to get interesting within the last, 10 minutes of this. Because she turns up with Strabo, duct-taped. And when they use the fish wire to make him wave, I kind of think, I've seen enough now. I expect that from this kind of film. That she goes in the house and she's got like the garage remote and says it's like a bomb and goes to, or demands that they all are set free. But then she turns and pledges her loyalty to Laszlo, doesn't she? Which I knew by then, and I'm not kind of asking for a pat on the back or a rub on the head, whatever. I knew that there was, she was kind of double playing everyone at this point, you know?
I don't have any allegiances to anyone. I'm all yours, and I could be your most valuable hitter. You shut up or I'll blow your brains out!
First thing I'm going to need is my son Strabo in my company. Secondly, maybe a little test. I'm thinking, kill Yimmy. In the melon.
Yeah, this was very expected, so that because you knew there was a long game in it and that there was stuff that people weren't saying and like Oz didn't know the full story and got totally confused like the rest of us. So, yeah, you knew this was double bluff.
And the funny thing is that the whole role that everyone has played in this film comes down to this final third, I don't know, 3 minutes of this film. Where all of the nonsense that the viewer has bravely put up with, this is meant to be the payoff, that she turns and says that, I'll work for you, Laszlo. He obviously says, okay, to prove it, like they're doing every single film, that you need to kill Jimmy. And she shoots the vase. Then the rest of them are blank. And it looks like she kills Bruce Willis. And everything's kind of like, oh my God, she actually has turned. But anyone stupid enough to actually believe that, then shame on you, because it's all a complete twist. And I was, must admit, surprised that the car outside that did have Strabo in did blow up and kill both the other goons. I didn't expect that, did you?
Yeah, that I did see, because otherwise they're going to go and find that he's dead and come back and fuck her over. So she had to stop it somehow. So, yeah, I kind of figured that would happen. The film is just so basic. It's not, it didn't take a genius to do it.
I feel like you had quite pleasure saying that, knowing that I just said I didn't expect it to happen.
To be fair, I hadn't quite linked that, otherwise I'd have been a bit more mean. But
really? A bit more mean, would you?
Yeah. Don't sound shocked. You know I could be. Yeah, so everybody dies at the end of the film, apart from Laszlo, and they keep him, and he gets set up, doesn't he? And all the police rock up, and I'm guessing he'll get carted back to prison because he's only just been released, and you see that Bruce Willis wasn't actually shot dead, and it was all loads of tomato ketchup and whatever, which is obviously the best way to end a film.
You were in on this whole thing from the beginning!
Of course I was. It's an old routine. It's a Skokie switcheroo.
The Skokie switcheroo? Where do you guys come up with these names? I'm not going to calm down. I just watched my friend get shot through the heart.
Harry's House of Halloween.
And what is the deal with that lamp?
And they all live happily ever after. And, it,
and Willis,
you know,
becomes a dad, doesn't he? And he cries again.
He does. He cries like a baby.
I'm pregnant.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? Got to be a dad.
We're not going to start with that again, are we?
Oh my God, and the twist is meant to be where he won't kill Laszlo is because he's my dad, which obviously we knew, because as I said earlier at the start of the pod, that he's actually called him out as Jimmy, his son, when he said Yimmy. So we know that, and it's not a surprise. And they go off and they've got the torn banknotes and they've got 280 million. And thankfully, they got enough money where they don't have to make another film. But they didn't reference the whole 10 yards, did they, in this film?
They did not mention the title. That would have probably made, that would have been the best bit of the film if they had.
It's a shame. It really is a shame. But it's so hard to talk about a film that is so bad. It's strange because you can't sit there, and you, or you don't really want to sit there and just slate it all the time, do you?
You don't want to, but this one was very difficult not to, because it was that bad. I haven't seen a film that shocking ever before. There's just nothing. And I like Matthew Perry. I do like him. So I thought it might be crap, but I'll enjoy it because he's in it. It was torture. And that is like 3 hours of my life. I'm not going to get back.
What do you think? So, we did Deck the Halls last week for our Christmas podcast, and that was hard going. But that makes Deck the Halls look like kind of a possible Oscar winner.
Yeah, it does, which is really sad because Deck the Halls was shocking as well.
Yes, completely, completely. But I'm going to have to ask you, the whole 10 yards, how much would you give it would you recommend it? And can you find the best bit?
So I can't even rate it because it was that bad. It doesn't deserve a score. It is that shocking. Would I recommend it? Hell no. And my best bit was where the credits start rolling at the end.
Yeah, I echo virtually all of that. I think the best bit was in the diner where he smashed that guy's head against the plate. I can't give this a score at all. It's one of the, as you said, worst films I think I've ever seen. And it made me angry in the sense that these people who are supposed A-listers, it just highlighted them for possibly what they are, just fame, money hungry people that are no different from anyone else, which is kind of annoying when you've got an actor who you say, oh, I love Bruce Willis, his films are really, really good. And when you watch this and think, God, you really will do, just like Samuel Jackson, you really will do any fucking film for money. And you don't possibly have any pride of as to what you will do. And it's just shit. And I'd like to think that at some part of this, that none of these actors in an ideal world would ever act again because they had their chance and they've done this film and it's so fucking poor that they just don't ever work again. I hate it. I really hate this film. It disappointed me so much.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I didn't have high hopes for it because they'd all said it was rubbish and the reviews weren't great either. So I definitely didn't have high hopes for it, but I didn't expect that.
Were you more disappointed because this had your beloved Matthew Perry?
I don't know, to be honest with you, because I like him, but I'm not biased in as much to say that he's just incredible in everything. So no, I don't think so. I think it's just a shame that somebody or a cast that can do averagely good to good films have produced something like this, which is just, it really is just a waste of your life and energy. It's not anything. It's just all, it's, yeah, there's no more that needs to be said. It's just shit.
So that was our review of The Whole 10 Yards. And it is a film, if you haven't guessed, that just avoid. If anyone says, come around my house and watch The Whole 10 Yards, what they're secretly telling you is that I hate you and I want to steal an hour and 34 minutes of your life and you won't get it back. So just bear that in mind if you're approached by anyone who says watch this film. But we will be back, possibly now, in the new year. And I hope the first film we do of 2024 is better than this film. If it's not, we've got serious fucking problems and we need to have a whole look at what we do on the podcast because it can't get any worse. But we have got a cocktail coming out at some point. We've recorded that, yet to edit that, so that will be out. I will try and get that out and this film before 2024, but if not, it'll be something to look forward to. That's got Neil on. But thanks for your support in 2023. It's been absolutely amazing. So many downloads. And it's just brilliant. We're really, really grateful. So your support is appreciated. And if you continue doing that, we'll be back next year. Have a great Christmas and a happy new year. And you take care.